Mo, I need your advice.
Yeah?
See, I got this friend named Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Oh, no!
Hey! Joey Jojo!
Hello and welcome to Put on H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Terry, thank you very much for asking. I am very, very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
That is good to hear. That sounds genuine.
Yeah.
It is good to hear it.
Good to hear.
Good to hear. Now, we are, I was just mentioning briefly off air that this may in fact be the last time that we Skype an episode. Possibly.
Ooh, it could be history in the making. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Because the proper professional bona fide studio looks like it's going to be ready very soon. The equipment is arriving tomorrow.
I'm excited. Whoa.
I know. So let's see, I'm a little bit concerned because like the entire process was left up to me.
This you have to install it all, like,
yeah, this is by the way in work we're starting to do podcasts now and stuff, so like if I happen to be able to take advantage for personal use, then so be it. But yeah, like I had to order the equipment and like tried to figure out what goes where and find things that are like compatible, and then I have to put it all together, I guess. So I have absolutely no experience in any of that.
A bunch of how-to guides online,
Someone will have a YouTube tutorial that's 25 minutes too long that'll explain the whole thing. I always hate that when you go on, it's like, great, I just want to know this really quick thing. It's like, how to do blah, 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 like 18 minutes. Like, how does it take this long? Just give me a minute and a half.
I was looking at one to install my Wi-Fi extender.
Oh.
10 minutes. It's literally hold down a button for 30 seconds.
Yeah, once the
lamp goes blinking green, hold down the button on the other one for 30 seconds, and it should all sync up. It's like, how is this 10 minutes of a video? Like,
that takes like 10 seconds to explain.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Anything else new with you?
Not really. Oh, I've got my driving test tomorrow.
Oh
boy.
Yeah.
And I am ill-prepared. Well, I don't know. I took a pre-test on Saturday. If that had been the test, I would have definitely failed miserably. Yeah. So I have another pre-test tomorrow, and then I have my actual test.
Pre-test and then a test.
Oh, you know it. Oh. And I'm going to be doing some driving in between. Because it's weird. Like, I wish they could just sit in the car with you and just be like, yeah, I'm just going to sit here for half an hour, just check you out. Be like, yeah, you can drive, no problem. But you have to drive this fucking arsehole way where you're like, mirror, signal, mirror. Look, blind spot.
Do stuff that like you would never normally do.
Yeah, like indicate.
Yeah, that's when you put your arm out the window, right?
He asked me about hand signals. I was like, and I honestly, like, they ask you about stuff like defogging your windows. Didn't have a clue how to defog the back window. So if nothing else, I learned how to do that. Turns out it's just the press of a button, really. But I'd never pressed it.
I would have thought as much. Yeah.
I mean, a monkey would have figured it out in 2 minutes. But I've been driving around for 2 years. It's just been like, can't really see out the back there. But anyway, I'll be sure to keep you posted on that particular item. How's things with yourself?
Yeah, pretty good. Turning the big 3-3 on Friday.
3-3 on 2-2-2.
Yeah, that's it.
Where does the time go, huh?
Happy birthday. There's no such thing. Yeah, where does the time go? Faye actually just sent me on a picture of like me at my 30th in the back of a taxi. obviously out of my mind drunk. But
is that where you punch the cake?
Yeah.
And that's I the stand story by for it. Another podcast.
That's when we'll be giving it some Patreon content. We might work that story in.
Yeah, we'll get that story out. But you gotta pay for it. Can I stop you dead in your tracks, Terry, and hit you with some trivia immediately?
What trivia will you be hitting me with?
Well, first of all, we are covering...
For what episode, Andy?
That's what I'm getting to.
Every goddamn week.
They click
week.
The link. It's the 9th episode of Season 5, The Last Temptation of Homer, which originally aired December 9th, 1993. It was written by Frank Mula and directed by Carlos Baeza. And what I thought was interesting right off the bat was that it did not get the usual amount of laughs at test screenings, apparently, which made the staff worry that the show wouldn't be as funny as they expected.
Interesting.
Now, we'll come back to that, I suppose, later on in the episode. We won't blow our wad, so to speak, so early, if you'll forgive the expression. It got a Nielsen rating of 12.7. It was the highest rated show on Fox that week. And Michelle Pfeiffer was introduced to do the voice of Mindy, which I have to say, when I was watching the episode, I couldn't place who the voice was. But
I remember it being Michelle Pfeiffer in my mind. But then when I was watching it this time, I was like, is it her or is it like a sound alike?
Yeah, you know? See, I don't know a lot of her movies that well, so I don't know if I would know.
I thought you were a Tim Burton Batman Returns kind of guy.
I'm a Batman Returns kind of guy. I wouldn't say Tim Burton has any sway.
Well, it's Tim Burton's Batman Returns.
It is, yeah. In spite of that fact, I'm surprised Helena Bonham Carter wasn't playing the role of Michelle Pfeiffer in that one.
So she's playing Michelle Pfeiffer playing Catwoman.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised. he'll shoehorn her into any of his movies. The Daily Telegraph said this was one of the 10 best Simpsons television episodes, which I thought was high praise indeed.
Interesting.
And it was placed 10th on Entertainment Weekly's top 25 Simpsons episode list.
Of all time?
Of all time.
Ooh.
Of course, our good pals who don't know that we exist, the authors of I Can't Believe It's a Bigger and Better Updated Unofficial Simpsons Guide, said it was a wonderfully scripted episode, and given Homer's utter devotion to Marge, it may seem off character for him to fall for Mindy, but the show makes it fit as his obsession doesn't come across as inconsistent. Which is...
Well, see, I want to jump in on one there because...
Yes.
I have a little bit of trivia that was basically the original animatics portrayed Mindy as a kind of flirty, sort of seductress type of character.
Yeah.
And then was like David Merkin who said, no, it can't be like that because the secret of the episode is that it's not just like Homer sexually attracted to her. It's like they're almost perfect for each other.
Yeah. Make her as compatible as possible with Homer.
And throw in the fact that he's tempted by a seemingly perfect woman at home and his life, away from home. Sorry, perfect woman, but his life at home is the opposite of that at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I thought that was a good touch, and probably something we'll go into more.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few particular points that I'm looking forward to getting in on this one. Apart from that, I do not have a huge amount of more trivia. Do you have anything else?
No. I mean, yeah, just that when Michelle Pfeiffer went to record her lines, all the writers showed up in the recording studio because they were like really excited to see her, and she was like mobbed by them, by the energy of the writers, it says, and the directors.
Let me ask you, think is... what's your thoughts on Michelle Pfeiffer circa like 1993?
What do you mean?
Hot or not?
I think Michelle Pfeiffer is a very attractive lady.
That's not the question, Terry.
Yes, it is.
The question is she hot?
She is hot.
I gotta disagree with you. Well,
you're an idiot. Thank you.
No.
She's very attractive. She's a sexy woman.
She's not unattractive, but she never did it for me, to be honest. Even in her heyday. Same with Uma Thurman. Never did it for me. I'd lump those two together, if I'm being honest.
I would have Michelle Pfeiffer ahead of Uma Thurman.
But I will say this about Michelle Pfeiffer. Her voice is more attractive than her face.
I think, like, she still looks great now. Like, have you seen her?
Listen, don't
now?
Get me wrong. She looks totally fine. I'm just talking about her in that very elite category.
You pig.
Some not PC. Yeah. But I have a great Apu impression that I want to give you. While I'm on a roll.
Well, I want you to do your impressions of the two chefs at Madame Chow's. That's what I want to hear.
Madame Chow's?
Yeah. That's what I want to hear later on. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm fresh out of trivia, to be honest.
Me too. Shall we dive right into the episode?
Please.
So, we start off at Springfield Elementary. And it's a nice little, I don't know, prank or I wouldn't say grift, but like, yeah, you know,
grift.
Bart's grift.
I never heard that. I never heard that expression before.
Grift.
Yeah.
They do a whole episode about it, grifting. Bart is narrowing each of the parking spaces by 1 foot, indistinguishable to the naked eye, but therein lies the game.
I fear to watch, yet I cannot turn away. Now, what I liked about the whole scene is, like, one, like, all the cars seem to park at the exact same time.
Yeah. But they were right on for the bell, like.
But the fact that it's like, okay, you've got Skinner and Kerbopple where she's like, I'm in the lines, you move your car.
Yeah.
She's like, you got a problem, go tell your mama. Oh, she'll hear about this. But then you've got, like, just he's like, I can't breathe.
I'm trapped. I can't get out.
Yeah, I'm trapped. I can't breathe. People are honking incessantly.
Yeah. So eventually they get out because we're next over to Krabappel's classroom, and she basically is saying that in the democracy in America, everybody is innocent until proven guilty, but her classroom is not a democracy. Ha! For the rest of the year, Bart Simpson will be the first student called on for every question.
Now, I don't know why Bart cares. Isn't he like an unapologetic bad boy, as he would say?
He is an underachiever and proud of it.
Yeah.
As so we learned in Skinner's Sense of Snow. He would just say, I don't know the answer to
that question.
Yeah, or he... yeah, you I know. Guess... But I guess in my head, it'd be more that like he'll be the first one asked for his homework or to read a book report or something like that. Okay. Like, you know,
okay,
that's kind of where my mindset was going.
Yeah, that makes more sense. That's probably exactly what they were going with, to be honest.
And she asks him to pronounce a word written on the board, and Martin is pretty much losing his shit.
Oh, pick me, teacher! I'm ever so smart.
And, like, Bart, his eyes are going blurry. I love how Martin's like, it's photosynthesis! Damn your feeble brain!
And then they establish... Now, this was close to home.
For you!
Yeah! Not that I was a troublemaker. Far from it, as you know, Terry. But apart from staying too long after French class, but...
it was the start of French class. Whatever. You're eating into my French time.
He's trying to learn.
Yeah, no, we just disrupted.
When there's some good learning to be had.
You're just sitting there, and like the class is supposed to be started, and it's like, get out, what are you doing here? Like,
freak, sideshow clown. But yeah, because I remember like when I was in, I think it was third class, maybe fourth class, and like I realized that like I can't see the board. So like it was just like you just get glasses, but like even the way he's looking at it and he's sort of blurring it and
it's going in and out, like
yeah, it's kind of like that. Like I used to have to, when I was in the back of the class, a little trick for that non-glasses wearers might not be aware of, but you put your hand into like a fist and you like look through and you put like a tiny little gap through the end,
like a telescope, like
yeah, and it sort of fine tunes everything on the other end, and I used to just be doing that at the back of the class, like looking through a fucking telescope, and it's like, ah, right, absolute zero.
Of course.
So yeah, I remember thinking when I was watching this as a kid, I was like, oh, it's just like me.
Oh, I can relate to Bart.
Yeah, this is what it's like when doves cry.
It wasn't a fan of the line, you made an ape, me noggin, it's me papers.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all.
Yeah. So we're here over to the power plant, and we get the lads having a bit of crack. It's Homer, Lenny, Carl, and Charlie. Little scene, Charlie. Yeah, but Homer get these guys. What are they putting? I guess it's plutonium or something. It's something very hazardous,
radioactive.
So, yeah, and Homer gets the robotic arm and like pinches one of their arses. They drop, and they drop the canister or whatever it is, and
the fact that he goes to like the window and like they're just completely remorseless, like, they're just like standing there.
It's,
like,
he's, it's done Carl for. He's done for.
Yeah, it's like, don't worry, the safety glass will protect us.
And then it seeps out, and then I look, it's like, I know we talked about The Simpsons like not being a cartoon,
yeah,
but like this part of it is quite perfectly cartoonish, where they go to run to the exit door and they all like bump into each other, almost like not even the cartoon so much, maybe like Three Stooges or something, yeah, like that, dump, like dump, you dump. Know yeah, or yeah. Marx Brothers, like, you know, they all sandwich up,
and like then the fact that the door is like this emergency exit's painted on.
Yeah. there's no way out, we're doomed.
I quite like the way he delivers that line. That's Carl, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
no. And then it cuts to Charlie in Burnsy's office, and I don't know, I remember as a kid I was loving it, that it's like, oh, it's like action packed at the start, like this whole little adventure, and it's one of the earliest moments of, I don't know if it's like, it doesn't seem lazy because it's so innovative, this idea of like, we've written them into an impossible situation.
Yeah.
That they're going to get out. And instead of like showing us, it's just like cuts out the whole escape or whatever like that. And he's like, I won't bore you with the details of our miraculous escape, yeah, but we desperately need an emergency exit. And it's like, because it's like one of the first times it's ever been written or used, or that I've been aware of.
Yeah.
It's really fresh. But whereas now it's kind of a common trait for like Family Guy or something like that, you know.
Isn't it mad how like TV or cartoons or whatever has evolved, that like The Simpsons did like so many firsts like that, that like, I mean, I don't know, but it like,
they probably weren't myself first, if, but they
about
were
that exact one, but like things like that where they were very original in doing, that wouldn't seem original now, like
they were so fresh.
Yeah.
And it could have been that, like, that could have been taken from an old, like The Honeymooners or something like that.
Yeah.
But because they had repackaged it and it was so fresh and there was so much time in between.
And sure, it was still probably realistically the first. Was it pretty much the first animation that was like, do you think, here's a big statement, Terry. Here's a big question that I'm going to ask you. Do you think that The Simpsons got adults watching animation? Do you think that was the show that made animation not for kids anymore, or was there one before?
Well, there. See, it's weird because it wasn't so much that there was this level of animation on weekly.
Yeah.
For adults, like, you know.
But was there anything?
It's, yeah, like there was movies and stuff, like, and they even like sort of take the piss out of it in, The Simpsons in the Itchy and Scratchy episodes, but like stuff like Fritz the Cat, and it's like real adult. And when I say adult, it's like smoking, drinking, picking up chicks. Like,
yeah,
this there's a guy, I can't think of his name. He was sort of the pioneer of like adult animation, but it wasn't
right.
It'd be the far end of the spectrum, I guess. Whereas The Simpsons is a lot more palatable.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more, like it's not aimed towards kids, I don't think.
Yeah, like it's kind of aimed. It's kind of it weirdly it is and it isn't. You know what I mean? Like it's aimed at both, but they're able to do it seamlessly.
Kids will want to watch it because it's a cartoon,
yeah,
or whatever like that. But at the same time, they won't pick up on half the jokes.
Yeah,
that are there for your parents, like, you know.
But I don't even like. It's done, not even subtly, but it's done in a way that's like, I never remember thinking as a kid, I don't get that joke, you know? I just didn't get them, you know what I mean? But I never thought, like, it still always seemed like it was for my age group, even though...
Yeah, like every...
Other, you know, jokes every that you get.
Every Sunday, 6 o'clock, brand new episode, like, you know, yeah. You're like 8 watching it. But it was something you would watch with your parents as well, and they would sort of have loads to laugh at.
That was back when Sky One was good.
Yeah, we won't lament that much longer. Anyway, so Charlie wants the emergency exit, and Bernsey is like, that's a fabulous idea. Anything else you'd like? How about real lead and the radiation shields? Urinal cakes, maybe? Smithers, throw this at him. And like,
Smithers just like, away.
I love how he flings it like straight at his face. Like, yeah. The glasses are knocked off his head.
He doesn't even ask questions, just,
And then he presses the button and he goes up the tube.
I love that. The tube just comes down and sucks him up into it. Like, and they have no idea where it goes.
And then it kind of like drops him with. It's India, I guess, yeah. Or I don't know.
Dance.
But I remember, when I watched it this time, I was like, that's a way darker joke than, like, you think, like, if you truly examine it, it's like, kind of, like, the people there just reminded me of, like, the people from, like, Taken, you know, that were having these auctions for women.
Yeah.
That like, and I was like, oh Jesus, like imagine if it was like a woman just like plonked down in that tube, like yeah, would she yeah. have to dance in front of all these men, like
I never even thought of that.
Yeah, that's also, where my mind was going.
I don't think that's a joke that they could do now.
No, I don't think so. That's
he drops and they all go like oh la la la, like so couldn't do that now.
So Smithers says that we're going to have to find a new dangerous emission supervisor.
Yes, we'll find someone cheap. It's been a very lean year for us.
Money fight. they're having fun.
two guys on the job having fun.
Yeah. Now, this is a weird scene, I thought. Like, very hands-on. Burns, like, talking to Zootroy.
Yeah, like he's, why is he the one?
Yeah, exactly, like you'd never see him.
And he offers him to work
hard. Shiny penny. Each
day he'll get a shiny penny.
And then we get, and it's like, it reminds me of, no, it's just, I love these like government bureaucratic agencies, the entrances that they make.
I know,
like,
it's so elaborate.
Yeah, it's like they're dressed as ninjas, like they break into the ceiling, like, and come down.
Agent Weston, Department of Labor. This man's an alien.
That's preposterous. Zootroy here is as American as apple pie.
The fact that these guys, that the government departments, they're always so straight-laced and they can't be like, swayed. Like, this plant violates every labor law in the book. We found a missing Brazilian soccer team working in your reactor core.
Now, that plane crashed on my property.
I thought that about, because I remember reading about the, and I wasn't sure what to make it. On the Wikipedia page, it said when the inspectors visit the plant, they mention finding the entire Brazilian soccer team working there. Burns says they have to because they crashed on his property. This scene yes. was mentioned by various media outlets after the 2016 disaster that killed most players on the Brazilian team. Chapecoense? I don't know how you pronounce it.
Right.
But, like, what do they mean mentioned by? Like,
I would say it was probably, I'd say it probably was removed.
Must have been. I just thought that that was a weird way of putting it. The scene was mentioned by various media outlets of an incident that happened 23 years later. Or 23 years earlier.
Unless they're talking about, like, because remember they were saying that, like, The Simpsons predict the future and, like, how they predicted Trump would be president and stuff. Like, that could be another thing.
Yeah, maybe in that sense, yeah.
But that would be reaching.
It would be reaching.
I think, yeah. So, so they want Burns to hire at least one woman, to which he replies, all right, I'll bring in one woman, but I still stand by my hiring policies.
Quack.
Get back to work, Stuart.
I remember that getting a big laugh from me when I was a kid, and not so much when I was an adult.
I quite liked it still. Like, I got quite a chuckle out of me. Like, he just like runs off. Like, so we're over at Dr. Hibbert's, his new HMO. And he can provide medical service, all of it under one roof. A nice little gag here was when he asked Marge to have insurance, he's already pressing the button for his own tube.
They've all just got tubes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like the tube sort of comes down and then says yes, and it goes back up.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful.
So,
Terry. Stop right there. You stop talking right now, Terry. Because we've got our first clip. We will play it and come back.
Your son has a temporary condition called lazy eye, where one eye is weaker than the other. You'll have to wear these for 2 weeks.
Aww.
Menachem Begin wore a pair just like them. That scalp's a little dry. Better see our dermatologist.
Rub a palm full of this medicated salve into your scalp every half an hour. Keep him away from open flames and pregnant women.
These should help those fallen arches. Enjoy.
Throat looks a little red. I better spray it.
Holy thanks, nice lady. My voice is crazy with this brain already. Oh, I feel so much better, Mr. Medical Science type person.
This is, I don't know. I love this clip. I just love because it's like a hat on a hat on a hat. In a good way.
I love that expression.
Yeah, but it's like, it goes from, it's like, oh, he needs glasses. And then it's like, oh, the scalp's a little dry. Give him this. Oh, and then he has fallen arches. And then they just throw in, and it's just, I think it's a great little joke. And it's only for the 1 second, but the whole Jerry Lewis of it all, when they spray his throat.
Yeah. The voice that he has, like.
Yeah. Oi.
And what, I love the fact that, like,
thanks, nice lady.
They always make the nerds, they always seem to make the nerds in The Simpsons, like, extra Jewish. Mm. You know, like, they've always got, like, that, I don't know what it is, just that sort of, I don't know, the accent or whatever, but I remember thinking that when I was watching it, I was like, Bart just all of a sudden is transformed to be very Jewish all of a sudden. But I like the fact that, like, they just go one after another. Like, it's like straight away. They're not even, like, you've no clue about fallen arches, but like, the next season, this ought to help those fallen arches.
Oi, I feel so much better, Miss Medical Science Bryson.
He basically becomes Dr. Frink.
It's, well, that, and that's who Frink is based on. Jerry Lewis.
I don't know. I know who he is, but I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know him well enough to get an impression.
Jeez.
Was he an actor or something?
He's like
musician.
Every comedian. What? He's every comedian's like idol.
Jerry. Yeah. No, I've definitely heard the name a ton of times.
Jerry Seinfeld's like
Idol.
Yeah,
no, I know he likes him all right, but I just never...
Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. Martin and Lewis.
If you told me Jerry Lewis was like...
He was the original Nutty Professor.
There was a Nutty Professor yeah, before Eddie Murphy.
Before Eddie Murphy. Motherfucker. Yeah. How do you not... As a fan of comedy, like, how do you not know who Jerry Lewis is?
I'm a fan of...
Of what? Comedy. Like, you're a fan? Yeah, of comedy. Like,
but I'm not a fan, like, of 1940s comedy.
Well, actually, you're a fan of 1940s comedy because you're a fan of Laurel and Hardy.
Okay, I shot myself in the foot on that one. I'll give it to you.
He'd be like 50s, 60s.
Like. Well, it's not even that I don't like him. I just haven't really... seen much of his stuff.
He's a really interesting guy. Bit of a megalomaniac.
Oh, really?
But, like, he wrote and directed all his own stuff.
Here, I have to ask you something very quickly, Terry. Slightly off topic. You didn't like Bird Box, no?
I'm not getting into it now.
I'm dying to talk about this.
I'll remember.
Right, we'll save.
It was fucking shite, man. Terrible movie. It was fucking brilliant. Stupid.
What do you want?
Stupid, like.
Yeah, right, fine. We'll save it for the next catch.
I might have had a few Chardonnays when I posted that rant on Twitter.
I figured that because when I seen the time, it was like 2 in the morning.
But no, terrible, terrible, awful movie. Pure shite, like.
Done us into
good,
people.
Good shite, but like.
I thought it had all the elements for me. And I'm very picky, Terry.
I know, yeah. What, had bad acting, bad action, no rules established. Like, what? Okay, who's to say who's bad and good? And why do they get to, like...
Well...
Like, the bad people love what they see.
It was just so tense. I found it's no, just been... Especially every time they went back to the river and stuff. I just thought the whole thing was tense. I don't know. I loved it. And I'm very picky.
Yeah, you have terrible taste in film.
Look, I wouldn't say that, Terry, but I would say that our film tastes have diverged drastically over the years. And the movies you like, I'll look at them, like, sometimes I like them. And the movies I like, you're like, it's fucking shite.
Like Bird Box.
And I was so dead against it for so long, I was like, no, not watching that. And then
you're right to be. I remember watching it, I was like, Cantwell's going to like this.
He's going to fall for this.
Maybe I should recommend it to him. And then I was like, actually, you know what? Like, I'm not even going to bother.
I choose to be complimented by that, Terry.
Did you watch Velvet Buzzsaw?
No, I did not.
That's the other horror movie that dropped on Netflix not so long ago. I liked it not for its horror, but for the other weird stuff that was going on in it. Like the weird Jake Gyllenhaal is giving a sort of weird Gonzo performance.
I'll tell you one thing, and I'll leave it.
You won't like it. You won't like
it. No, I'm probably not going to watch that. I did watch a bit of The Cured, that Irish zombie movie.
Yeah.
Turned it off after 10 minutes.
10 minutes? 10. That's not long enough.
It is long enough. You know, when you know, it's not going to be your sort of movie. And I'll tell you what I'll be very quick here. I'll tell you what my problem is, Terry. My problem is, first of all, this Cured movie, it was like, oh yeah, there was a zombie, whatever, but they remember everything they did as zombies, which I was like, okay, good concept, and it's Irish, and Nidge from Love Hate is in it, so grand.
Ellen Page is in it. What's she
and
doing?
Ellen Page is in it, yeah. And so I'm watching it and I'm like, oh, this is just one of those sort of just like depressing movies that like they're using the zombie angle to lure you in to think, oh, it's a zombie thing. But like really it's all about how they're dealing with their feelings. And the zombie stuff is just a...
That's interesting.
They could have chosen like a car accident, or they could have chosen a fucking, you know... But they lure you in. Oh, it's a zombie movie and an Irish.
Not really, because it is interesting if like you were like eating people and then you were cured, but you could remember you had to live with the guilt.
I liked the concept, but I didn't like the execution, Terry.
All 10 minutes of it that you watched.
Yeah, well, 15.
This is why we can't have a movie podcast anymore. Okay?
But it'd be boring if we
No,
I agree. Yes, I also agree.
That was no, like, because then we could talk about why we liked it and like, dive deep into it, whatever, like, you know.
Well, that's what this podcast is all about.
Yeah, it's supposed to be about The Simpsons.
Anyway, we're veering wildly off track here.
Okay, so we are back at Homer's workstation. And the lads are lamenting that if they hire a woman, they won't be able to spit on the floor.
We can't take off our pants when it gets real hot.
And we won't be able to pee in the water fountain.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if we wanted to. Not that I ever did.
And then we get Smithers introducing your new coworker, Mindy Simmons. I think she has a degree in engineering or something.
And again,
are you going to be Mindy or what?
What?
Are you going to be Mindy or what?
Well, I considered it, and then I thought, I could probably let that one go. Homer straight away starts like imagining her naked on a clam.
I love the animation, and I think there's a lot of good animation in this episode.
Yeah,
where I agree.
We're having fun.
But when he like the way he like just turns around and he's like hi, and then like he turns back around, and then almost instantly it's like whoosh, the swivel in the chair again, and he sees her on the clam. But I love like Lenny and Carol as the two cherubs.
Yeah, straight away, what's the matter?
Ain't you never seen a naked chick riding a clam before?
Again, Carl's voice was spot on. There. Riding a clam before?
I was like, gotta go. And his reasoning for why he had that freak out hallucination was he shouldn't have eaten that packet of powdered gravy that he found in the parking lot.
God. Like, imagine actually just witnessing that.
This is your life. Yeah. Like,
there's so much more to Homer than the show shows.
They give you these little glimpses into like, this man's depraved.
Show me that 10-minute scene in the deleted scenes of Homer just eating powdered gravy in the parking lot.
In fairness, in Rosewood, they showed us him eating all that cheese.
True, actually. I shouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah. So back to Bart's classroom, and he shows up with his brand new look.
Nice glasses, four eyes. Again, close to home.
Nice shoes, 2 feet.
Your appearance is comical to me.
I like the realization of like Bart seeing that he's a nerd in the Milhouse's reflection of Milhouse's glasses.
Yeah.
And Milhouse realizing it at the same time.
So am I.
So Homer is packing it in for the day. Another day, another box of stolen pens. I love that little touch of like him throwing it into the back of the cab where there is so many boxes.
He clearly and, like, doesn't need any of them.
Ink spilling onto the seat and all, like from the like. Mindy pops by to say goodnight, and Homer says, "Oh, no goosebumps, no hallucinations. That last time was just a fluke." Cut to him peeling away, reversing down the highway. And I love how it is like a trout hatchery.
Yeah,
is why he reverses it like a lot of all the things that he could have reversed into.
That'd be the writer that suggested that trout hatchery. Yeah.
That's gold. And again, the animation of like the trouts singing. Homer loves Mindy. Homer loves Mindy.
Hey Homer, you're hallucinating again. Not a good sign.
Not a good sign.
And then, like, the next day, Homer's just, like, not even hiding the fact that he's sort of already infatuated with her. Like, yeah. So what do you think of Mindy? Seems okay. Anyone see the game? Yeah, that Mindy seems real nice. Just, like, keeps bringing it back.
What's with you? You're talking during the coffee break. Yeah, usually you just take the box of donuts into the bathroom.
Mindy as a motorcycle. Now, after the third Mindy as a motorcycle, then you'd be like, all right, What's going on?
Like, nobody, but that's the funny thing, I think. Like, nobody's actually paying any attention to what he says. Yeah.
It seems like no one's paying attention to what anyone is saying. I'm just sort of.
We're just talking at each other. It's like, at each other. Yeah. He's finished talking, now I'm going to say what I want to say. So, Bart takes out his skateboard at school and he tries to show everyone that he's the same kid he always was.
That was
with just disastrous results.
And you won't believe what happened. I just remember thinking with that, just even though it was an animation, just cringing a little at it. Whole, like, hey, everyone, look at me, I'm still the same person. Like,
a little stuff. Bit of desperation. That stank is on him.
Of desperation.
Yeah. And the bullies get him for trying to learn on his own after he has crashed into a bunch of books.
I love that. I love the fact that the bullies don't tolerate someone wanting to learn on their own or learn on their own time.
And next up, we have one of my favorite ever, I don't even think it's a joke, just like bits ever from The Simpsons.
We heard that.
Homer being, I got this friend, Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Joey Jojo.
And also, like, I mean, like, that is, by the way, obviously
a great
line. The way he,
like, how do you write that? Like,
I know.
I was like, when you're looking at the scenes, like, who is this guy at the curb of the bar? Like, this, you know,
and the way he sobs as well. But then the fact that, like, Homer's getting so, like, you know,
opening up.
Like, yeah, but the fact that he's like, I'm attracted to another woman, like, you know, like, as if, like, has Homer never been attracted to another woman in his whole life or something like that? He's freaking out about this fact.
Yeah, well, that was the whole thing, that he never needed anybody else because he always had Marge, you know. And I do like Barney. He's like, your infatuation is based on a physical attraction. Talk to the woman and you'll realize you have nothing in common.
That's so insightful. I love the fact that it's just...
It was on one of the bar napkins.
It's clearly just for drunks.
Did you notice who was on the bar napkin?
No.
Okay, cool. I'll come back to this point in a little while.
Oh, I'm intrigued now. Hang on one second. This damn cat! Get out of here.
Get him, Arlo.
I'll listen to him, Arlo. That's not for you. We had a chipper there. There's garlic mushrooms in there that I could just put out of the room. She's sticking her head in the whole...
Well, of course, she's a cat. Yeah.
I'll tell you what cats don't respond to. Language. I'm learning that. You could tell a cat whatever, and it'll just look at you like, yeah, I'm just going to keep going ahead and do that.
Well, like, bang your hands together, or, like, point.
Point?
You know. Yeah, like, clap your hands and be like, no. Point at them.
I have a lot to learn, Terry.
Yeah. You got to try and be the boss, even though... Oh, I just woke up my cat.
You got to be the boss. I am so sorry for waking up. Please go back to sleep, Mrs. Whiskerson.
So Homer decides he wants to have a conversation. He thinks he'll find that they have very little in common.
Stop right there, Terry.
Ooh.
Stop dead in your tracks, because we have our second clip. We will come back to you after this.
I think we'll find we have very little in common.
Can't talk. Eating.
Hey, my favorite. Raspberry swirl with a double glaze.
Double glaze.
No. Okay, so we have one thing in common. But you know what I hate? Drinking beer and watching TV.
Not me. That's my idea of heaven.
Me too.
Really? I can see I'm gonna love working with you. Well, gotta go. I want to sneak in a quick nap before lunch.
Foul temptress. I'll bet you think Ziggy's gotten too preachy too. I made it the whole day without seeing her again. I mean,
I guess we'll be going down together. I mean, getting off together. I mean...
That's okay. I'll just push the button for the stimulator. I mean elevator. Think on sexy thoughts. Think on sexy thoughts. Think on sexy thoughts. Oh, that's unsexy.
Think on sexy thoughts. Think on sexy thoughts.
Well, this is my floor.
That line, or that whole joke just at the very end where he's sliding down the...
Love it. Possibly, again, he's one of my favorite, like, physical or whatever you want, visual gags ever. Like
he's trying to make it all seem like it's all just casual. He's sliding down.
I love that, like, see you tomorrow. Like, the hand down.
He's still waving. And what I like is the fact that, like, even Mindy is like, think on sexy thoughts, think on sexy thoughts.
Yeah. Like, she is like, she's like, I guess we'll be going down together. I mean, getting off together. I mean, he's like, that's okay. I'll just put the button for the stimulator. I mean, elevator. Now,
yes,
to bring you back to the napkin.
I've been waiting for this for the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, so... when she says, I think I want to sneak in a quick nap before lunch. And Homer's like, oh, foul temptress. I bet she thinks Ziggy's gotten too preachy, too. The little cartoon on the napkin was a Ziggy.
Oh, yeah. Italian water. It's those insights that really give this show the credibility.
They wouldn't be getting this on Four Finger Discount or whatever else the other ones are. Whatever the other ones are. Although I have, for the record, I have never listened to one of their episodes.
I haven't. I think I listened to one.
Was it? Don't give them the clicks or the whatever it goes by. They're the competition, Andy.
I just know that there's lots of them, and I tell you what, Terry, I see them on the charts. I see their fans rating them 5 stars.
Dude, save it for the end.
All right. I got a lot of problems for you people. Just kidding.
But I do like the fact that, again, it's good writing where it's like literally everything that Homer is throwing at her, she is like hitting straight back to him.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, so well, I hate drinking beer. He's like, oh, no, I love it. That's my idea of heaven. Like, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
But it's not like... In the next scene where, like, he comes home, where he slides down, I'll see you tomorrow.
Like, I'll see you tomorrow.
He's home to his loving family. I thought...
Love this.
Now, see, this is where I'm going to disagree with you, Terry.
What?
Because I thought this was a bit of a... I don't know what the word is, but, like, fair. Okay, Marge has a cold. Fine. Like, is this supposed to be... You know, like, it seemed like the next scene was supposed to be, okay, he comes home, Marge has a cold, Bart's a nerd, Lisa cooked fish sticks that are burnt on the outside but frozen on the inside. And it's like, it's kind of just like his normal family. You know what I mean?
No, but like, yeah, but kind the whole of. Thing is, like, he's coming home and he wants, like, reassurance.
Right.
He's like, oh, you know, the grass isn't always greener type thing. Like, you know, he's coming home and he's like, ah, I need to come home to, you know,
yeah,
everything being okay, or, you know, I'm in the right place being sense, at home actually. With my family. And then it's like, Marge is the complete opposite of how she always is. Bart is the complete opposite of how she always is. And Lisa is just like, it's a very undesirable house to be, and it's just like hammering at home.
Yeah.
How, like,
'cause I thought they were trying to sort of go with the, you know, oh, my family's terrible, or, you know. Marge only has a cold, but I guess, yeah, he can't hug her or something, you know.
It's just, it's like he just needs that comfort. He's like, he needs that reassurance of coming home. It's like, oh, I need to get as far away from the temptation as possible.
Yeah.
And he can't get anything when he comes home, like, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I will give them that.
And even Grandpa there, it's like, that raccoon stole my lamb chop.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, like his sanctuary, his home's like a sanctuary. It's a madhouse. Supposed to be, and it's just, yeah. I did like the Homer like trying to have a bit of quality time, turn off the TV, and then Marge shows him the new, and I have to say, I love the voice work from Julie Kavner here as like Marge when she's sick.
Yeah, I definitely believed that she was sick.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah. Like, and the face on her t-shirt.
Yeah, I got $2 off because mine got smeared.
And then I love how he's just like, yeah, we haven't watched TV in a while. Like, just turns it back
straight
on.
Back on, yeah.
Tonight, Ion Springfield takes a look at the secret affairs of Kennedy, Eisenhower, Bush, and Clinton. Did fooling around their wives make them great? We'll find out when we play Hail to the Cheat.
So good.
Yeah.
And then the next, like the next channel, he's like, the Burmese melon fly has over 1,000 sex partners and suffers virtually no guilt.
Exchange it to like... Just do it.
I'm always a fan.
Examine your scalp for ringworm.
Ringworm's no joke. I should know.
Yeah.
But I always like in any show where they have like don't think about something and the TV is like...
Again, like it's a hat on a hat on a hat, yeah. In a good way. Like it builds. It's like
even on The Simpsons where they did it where it's like, TV is my friend. It laughs with me. And then the next guy is pointing at the screen.
You're so stupid.
Or even in like things like Sabrina, where she's not supposed to have pancakes, and then she's changing the channels all the time. And it's like, pancakes.
I love pancakes.
Yeah. Like, that was like one of the best jokes they ever had. Because it was just, it was constantly, it was subtle at the start. It was like, pancakes. It's like, oh, change. And then it's just the next one was like, I like pancakes. Oh, it's the simple things.
Yeah. So Homer, he is in a telephone booth, and he rings the...
Excuse me, you, Andy. Terry.
I just said that. Excuse me. he rings the marriage hotline or whatever. I love how when he like rings up, like, "Hello, hotline. I'm very tempted by another woman."
Homer Simpson. That's a dilly of a pickle. Hey, let's conference you with Marge, huh?
No, and like he whacked it. How hard he hits his head, or how hard it looks like.
Yeah, that looks like a very
head
real
off the glass. Yeah. Ooh.
Like he first, it's actually really well animated because like he runs almost like full clip, but like less than a foot.
But
away.
It doesn't take a step. Yeah. Like you know,
it's like right into it, and then it goes over again. That was a very satisfying thud.
Yeah.
And
then we get
stop right there.
Oh,
Terry Toner, because we have our third clip of the evening. We will play it and come back.
I'm very tempted by another woman.
Homer Simpson, that's a dilly of a pickle. Hey, let's conference you with Marge, huh?
No!
Who are you?
Homer, I'm your guardian angel. I've assumed the form of someone you would recognize and revere. Sir Isaac Newton.
Sir Isaac who?
Oh, very well.
Colonel Klink! Did you ever get my letters?
I'm not actually Colonel Klink. I'm just assuming his form.
Did you know Hogan had tunnels all over your camp?
Homer! That's not why I'm here. My job is to show you how miserable life would be if you married Mindy instead of Marge.
Ooh, I would live in a big mansion?
I'm so happy, darling.
I as well. Are you happy, Jeeves?
Yes, sir. Quite.
Then we're all happy.
Let's get out of here. Sure, life is good for you. But what about Marge?
Marge lives here?
Madam President, your approval rating is soaring.
This dream is over.
Hey, you! Get out of my office!
Let me ask you something, Andy.
Yes?
Do you know who Colonel Klink is?
He is from a TV show.
Yes? Called?
I don't know the name.
It's Hogan's Heroes.
He plays some... Does he play... He's not like a Nazi, is
the
he?
Colonel Klink is the Nazi colonel in the show, and like Hogan's heroes are, I think it's like the prisoner of war camp.
Right.
Hogan's heroes are like trying to break out, or they disrupt everything. So like they had all these tunnels under the camp and stuff like that. Like, it's this guy. The guy who played it is like Werner Klempner or whatever. But it was his last television appearance. Is to do this on The Simpsons, and I think it's another great use of a celebrity that we would have no idea of as kids or like that. It's this guy, but he's just like a good, you know, funny voiced character. Like his affectations are funny, the way he goes on and stuff. Like,
what I thought was funny as well was that your man, obviously, who was the original Colonel Klink, like you said, did the voice, but since the show had gone off the air in 1971, he apparently had forgotten how to play Colonel Klink. So, is it David Merkin?
Yes, he was a showrunner.
He had to do an impression of Colonel Klink that Klemperer could imitate to get it right.
Which is funny, brilliant.
Even though it was actually his character. I love as well the animation as well, can I say, of like, I don't know why I found it so funny when he's standing there and his head's just twitching. It's like, I'm not actually Colonel Klink. And his head is twitching. It's that twitch that makes it for me.
I love just, like I can say, I love just the way he pronounces so much stuff or whatever, and he's like, when, first of all, I love when Homer's like, are you happy, Jeeves?
Yes, sir.
Then we're all happy.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah. No, that, my favorite is like, this dream is over. drops him back into his body.
Every line that he has actually is great. I'm not actually Colonel Klink.
I'm just assuming it's warm.
Quality.
You kind of forget as well that it's Sir Isaac Newton was the original person.
Oh yeah, he had
the original guardian angel. Yeah. So we get your buddy here for a sec. When Homer wakes up, Lionel Hutz.
Hey, you get out of my office.
Yeah.
Shame he wasn't used more. That's.
What I did notice about, though, he's such a big deal on the show that it was like guest starring. It was like Phil Hartman was the first name guest starring. Yeah, like ahead of Michelle Pfeiffer, ahead of Werner Klemp.
Good. The respect he deserved.
Yeah. So we get Bart getting beaten up, I guess, and he's getting taunted, and there's this kid.
You're goofy looking.
Yeah. I know that's one of your favorites.
I say that all the time. Yeah. All the time.
Poor Joni.
I know. She doesn't have a chance.
And he's running down the hall and he gets pulled into this locker society, I guess. The refuge of the damned.
Of the damned. A place where we can work on our extra credit assignments without fear of reprisal.
I love that. He's like, come, you must be tired from the chase. Oliver, bring our friend a hard-boiled egg and some prune juice. Like, clap of the hands. Like.
And the fact that, as well, like they instantly start talking like from another time. It's like, come, you must be tired from the chase.
It's pretty good stuff. I kind of wish they just dug into that a bit more.
Yeah, like, that's the only scene. There.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of meat on that bone that they just stay away from. And then we get Homer in a towel, giving us a bit of a song.
I'm not going to do the song
myself. I'll do the song. Oh, Mindy, you came and you gave without flaking. But I sent you Ben Gay. Oh, Andy, you kissed me and stopped me from something. And I... Uh-oh. I love the animation of like when he just pulls the mirror.
Yeah.
It's just like there. Lisa's just standing there looking at him.
Why does he start change it to Andy, though?
Well, I assume the song was supposed to be Mandy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Mindy and Andy.
Oh, so he just got it wrong a second time.
Yeah, it gives you Mandy, maybe?
Yeah.
You know? But I love how when she asks him why he's singing, he's like, tell a lie, tell a lie.
He's not even trying to like make it sound like, you know, like make her understand. It's just like, tell a lie, tell a lie.
He's like, I have a small role in the Broadway musical. It's not much, but it's a start. It's like, bravo.
And then the fact that Lisa's straight away onto
she nails him. Like,
judging from your song, you're infatuated with a woman named Mindy or a man named Andy.
Love the delivery of that, of the man named Andy. And then Homer, where does he go from here after this with Lisa? Where he's like, look out behind you.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm 100% serious. You gotta turn around right now.
Yeah. That's okay.
And then, like, just. Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, next time you see her, like...
That's it, she just doesn't ask him about it again.
We get Homer in the hallway, and he has a little note written on his hand. The hallway of the power plant, he has a note written on his hand.
Mindy, because of our uncontrollable attraction, I think we should avoid each other from now on.
And then we get Lenny walking by in the same way. Max, what I did because of alcohol and anger.
I'm tired of these jokes about my giant hand. The first such incident occurred in 1956.
Great joke. It's just like
the hand just raises right at the right, the right moment.
Yeah, it's perfect. Like, and then I love how when he gets to Mindy, he's like, oh, I'm sweating like Roger Ebert.
Who is that?
Roger Ebert was that film critic. He's kind of, he's dead now, but he was a fat guy.
Oh, right.
Yeah, from Siskel and Ebert, maybe.
I'll tell you what.
It's a good documentary on him, because he's a pretty well-renowned film critic.
Roger Ebert.
Yeah, I think it's called Life Itself, is a documentary.
I am just Googling him now, Terry. Oh, yes. I know that guy. I couldn't possibly describe him for anyone listening who doesn't know who he is, but rest assured, people, that I now know who he is.
Sleep easy tonight. I love Homer when he's like trying to read out. He's like, Murphy, you're an elf. Uncontrollably. I think. And then like Smithers is like, look at those two inseparable chumps. All right, Burnsy is saying this to Smithers.
Do you think as well, by the way, that like, her name, Simmons, is deliberately close to Simpson?
I was thinking that, but then I was like, Grandpa went out with a Beatrice Simmons earlier this season, remember?
Yeah.
His girlfriend that like left him the money.
Oh, yeah. I wonder.
Dignity's on me. So I don't know.
Just when I see them, especially when I see them written down together, they're very close, like...
Well, he wants to send them to this year's energy convention. It's like, are you sure?
Sorry.
Cut to, nobody else seems to share that same camaraderie, and like just the videos of like,
oh yeah,
people like strangling people each other, like
full on killing every.
I love. It cuts to Stuart like pecking at some poor unfortunate soul on the ground.
I forgot about that. And like, why, like, does it have, like, if it had been Lenny and Carl, would they have had to spend two nights together in glamorous capital city?
Yeah, I think so. I love how it's like, yeah, I love that. and then Homer is like, Colonel Klink, why have you forsaken me?
What is it? You have a question?
Did you know Kinch had a radio in the coffee pot?
He did.
I love that. Like
the pop.
Now, this part here where Homer is being shown the room. He's like, TV there, bathroom's there, and there's your king size bed for.
Homer
Hubba.
It's the the Hubba Hubba is the best one because he does the whole like and then his eyes just change. It's like Hubba Hubba. And then even the timing of Homer's like, stop that. I love my wife and family.
But it grated on me so much when he was doing it. Like, yeah. And I loved it as a kid, but I just, no, not for me.
It actually still works for me as an adult, I have to say.
Did it? Yeah.
I thought it was funny. Because, the guy is just such a jerk. Like.
Yeah. But I liked Homer when he's like, all I'm going to use the bed for is sleeping, eating, and maybe building a little fort. Yeah. That's it. And then when he sees free mouthwash, free shampoo.
Yeah. They're basically just doing the exact same thing. In the rooms, you hear her saying, free shower curtain. Yeah. And then we're like, okay, you think she's saying one thing, but she's saying the other. It's like, she's like, I have a wicked idea that could get us into a lot of trouble. It's like, let's call room Homer. Service.
But I love Homer. It's like how like meek he gets. Like, oh, we have to fight our temptation. Like, you know.
No, let's do it. Let's call room service.
And again,
the fact that the plant as well has it specifically dedicated to someone charging room service to the company.
We get a wicked Wizard of Oz reference here.
I was going to jokingly ask you if you knew what reference this
come on.
Was from.
Come on.
Just to see what you say. Do I know what it's from?
I love that though, like, they just immediately fall out the window. The flying monkeys, like, continue to research.
And the thuds, the individual thuds, yeah, of them all hitting the ground.
So they ordered God knows how much food.
Yeah.
But they both go for the foot-long chili dog.
Now, straight away,
first of all, I've never had a foot-long chili dog, but it looks delicious.
It does look delicious.
That drawing.
I used to like to eat things that the shows I watched, the people ate in those shows. I tried spinach when I was a kid because Popeye liked spinach. I tried chili dogs because Sonic the Hedgehog liked chili dogs. I got into
he did.
I got into lasagna because Garfield liked lasagna. So a lot of those actually was my first foray into the adult food world, although I don't know if you'd count chili dogs and that, but they're delicious. But my issue was, like, he knows he's not holding the other end of that chili dog.
Yeah,
so, like,
they both.
What do you expect is going to happen when you get to your end of your hat?
I think it's just that they're so wrapped up in, like,
eating.
The ecstasy of eating. Yeah, like. And they have a little kiss.
Lips touch.
Yeah, have a little kiss. But then I love how, like, his shirt just, like, bursts open and he's wearing the Marge t-shirt. And it's, he's, like, sitting on the bed or on his knees with his hands on his head, like,
It was a really well done noise that they made for the
buffer.
It's
a sign. Yeah. So back at the Simpson household, Marge is feeling better anyway. I only noticed that on this watch. I never noticed that she was better when she said this to Bart. That he doesn't need to wear his glasses anymore and his scalp and posture are fine. So satisfying when he kicks the shoes off.
It is satisfying,
like,
isn't it?
Yeah. They fly through, like, Flanders' window.
I love the fact that the way he kicks them off, you know they've got weight behind them. And then, like, the way they go through the window, like, they don't stop at all. They just go right through it. Like, they almost go through the wall as well.
Like, yeah. I love how when he asked, did anybody pray for giant shoes, one of his kids is like, I did.
Yeah. Oakley dokley.
And this is a great little gag here as well, where, like, the bullies are like, yeah, we're doing a lot of upper body work on Bart. Today, let's bend his kidneys. And he's like, beat me. He shows up like, dun, da, da.
Yeah. You know?
The nerd you knew is dead. Beat me and you'll be beating one of your own. Whatever. Like,
there's something about the way he's standing that really bugged me. Because Bart? He thinks he looks so cool.
Yeah.
But like, it's such a weird, like, I don't know what you'd call it. Stance, I don't know. Didn't do it for me.
He's still at a cool level 4. You know,
yeah,
they get beat up, but they get a reason.
Yeah. Are we on to our next clip, Terry? Is that why?
We might be. I'm waiting for you, my friend.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can root one out here. Let's see what we got.
So this stuff really works?
Certainly does.
Oh, well, lots of luck! Thanks for poisoning the planet, bastard!
Get bent!
No more Chernobyls!
Go to hell!
You know, I was a little worried about coming to this convention with you, but I think as long as we're not alone together...
And now the moment you've been waiting for. This year's king and queen of energy are Homer Simpson and Mindy Simmons.
Huh?
Homer, Mindy, you've just won a romantic dinner alone at Madame Chow's, the sexiest Chinese restaurant in Capital City.
Is there any way to get out of this?
No.
This possibly has... Again, one of my most used lines on a daily basis, and I'd imagine yours too, sure. Of just that.
I just love it.
Well,
like,
it's a luck. It's almost...
like, the chop, like, as well, like... So, this stuff joke, really works.
Because he's so fragile, like... And then, and he's clearly...
But he's using solar power. The most eco-friendly...
your man just seems like thing. Such a, like... Like he's clearly bully, like a bad monster. Guy, whatever. He's standing there with the glasses on, like, so this stuff really works. Yeah, it's a luck.
But yeah, I love how he's like taking in the surroundings, and, like, sketching out what's going on.
It's such a funny joke, and then like the little
and like the little snip.
Then he just hops over the desk, like, and then he takes his glasses off.
Yeah, he realizes he still has his shades on. It's like, and it's like the sign, like, fossil fuels use us, nobody gets hurt.
I use that line as well. Lots of luck for, even for something that, like, if I think something's not gonna work or something like that. Like, I used to always use a Jerry Seinfeld one. I can't remember. Oh yeah, like I used to always say, like, well, good luck with all that. But if anything, well, lots of luck, says replace that everyday go-to. Great line.
I love the gag of, like, again, it's just, it's classic Simpsons of, like, them saying, like, one thing, and it's like...
the opposite happens.
We're going to... Yeah. It's like, I think it's as long as we're not alone together, it's like... And now, for the moment you've all been waiting for, this year is King and Queen of Energy are Homer Simpson and Mindy Simmons.
Like,
and like your man's voice alone, he's like, you've just won a dinner at Madame Chow's, the sexiest Chinese restaurant in Capital City.
That's brilliant.
Like, why? The sexiest.
The
like.
Sexiest Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
The King and Queen of Energy. Now, I thought as well when Homer's like, is there any way to get out of this? And the guy's like, no.
The animation,
yeah,
his voice,
it's like, he's clearly saying something else initially. Like, he's almost saying, like, or something.
Yeah.
Because you just hear, no.
Yeah. Doesn't work, but.
Still, great guy.
So, Homer and Mindy have just eaten some cheeseburgers at the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
Like that gag. And he opens his fortune cookie and he finds that it says you will find happiness with a new love.
Like, that's like the moment that he gives
great,
up.
Great guy. Yeah, it's great
like, hey,
guy.
Hey, where are these new love cookies? Open the stick with your wife, Beryl. Great guy.
And when we get to back in the hotel room, I love how like Homer is like, I guess you're going to want to come in. And she's like, okay. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, he's quite annoyed that he's being put in this situation.
I remember thinking, like, that was not even a weird line, but just like, yeah, it was clearly something that seemed like something he wouldn't say on a regular basis or something. He was just like, okay.
He's like, he just wants the hit not to be put in this situation, because in case he does, like, cave, like...
He just cries.
Yeah, well, like... oh, like, you don't know. We're gonna have sex. But I like, She is, I actually really like this conversation at the end here, where she's like saying, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. And like he's like, well, maybe I want to.
Yeah.
Then I think about Marge and the kids.
Well, the boy, he drives me nuts. Sometimes I just like that. I love that. He turns angry like, straight away.
I like the way of like Homer saying like, actually, yeah, I am tempted.
I really like that. Yeah.
I could see myself doing this. And she says, oh, like, you know how I feel.
Yeah.
Like, the cards are all on the table there. There's no, like, it's good. And again, they have another little kiss.
Yeah, very small.
And a great little moment here where it's like, you know, and a great choice of music, I thought, the Barry White. And it cuts to Marge. It cuts to a woman in the red dress, but it's Marge in the red dress.
I thought that was a nice, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done. And I love how it's like, oh, this was a wonderful idea. Hey, there's a turkey behind the bed.
Yeah, I like that. It's like, oh, she's kind of compatible with him after all. Even though, well,
yeah, of course she is.
But yeah, they sort of.
Yeah, but they don't make it like.
Yeah.
That she's so different from Mindy, I guess. Like, you know.
That was well done.
Oh, Margie, you came and you found me a turkey on my vacation away from working.
Ow!
I like how you just hear like the punch sound, and it's when like one of the eyes closed.
Homer's angry eyes the whole time.
Yeah. And that is the episode. Oh boy. Shall we get into ratings?
Please.
Andy, I'm going to throw it to you first. Oh. Hit me with your rating stick. Oh,
please. I will. Right.
What did you think?
Overall, I liked it. It deals with the whole thing of like temptation, you know, really well, real life issues and you know, things like that. Like, it's one of those, you know, more adult themes, I guess. However, Terry, I thought it was a bit slow. I thought what they did well was the whole, like I said, Homer and Mindy, and they had some great gags like the See You Tomorrow and Lots of Luck and all those sort of ones, like timelessly funny gags. But I just thought like Bart's story kind of goes nowhere and is a little bit pointless. And you know, the secondary story, I don't know, it just didn't quite do it for me. I would say my MVP is, oh, I don't know. Let's say Mo. it would probably be Homer, but it would be, you know, just because who else am I going to give it to? Although I'm sure you'll have someone else in mind.
I have somebody else in mind, yes. But
And my rating, since you asked, Terry, I will give it a 7.3. out of 10.
That's a low one.
Fairly low. Is it the lowest? No.
What, you gave something like a 5 or 6.8.
I gave something.
I'm with you with a lot of your points, what you're making here. It's not exactly like a laugh a minute, but I do think it's for the main story anyway, it's well written.
Yeah, it is well written. Yeah.
Like, you know, they make the Mindy character, she's, you know, she's well rounded out character, like, you know. She, and like, I like the fact that, you know, she is attracted to Homer because they're so compatible as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Both sort of innocently falling into this situation.
Exactly. Like, you know, I like. It's one of the more heartfelt ones, like, you know.
It is.
Like you say, tackling real life issues. I just think it's very well done. but it's a bit of a come down from, like, this, like you say, the stuff there that, like, I all time great gangs, yeah. I love, but they're fewer and far between. Yeah,
in between those.
In the episode. You're right about, like, Bart's story. It's kind of filler.
Yeah, like, I've never seen a subplot that goes so obviously nowhere, you know, starts with nothing and ends with nothing, you know.
Yeah, and it was just kind of an excuse to, like, change Bart up for the episode, I think. And that's fine, I guess, but, like, yeah, I don't know. I kind of would have preferred maybe if they could have focused more on the Homer and Mindy storyline and just
fleshed that out a bit more,
like we've seen in previous episodes. Just use that as, like, the, what would you say, the flavor or the padding around the episode. Like, drop that in and out. Like, Bart, you didn't have to devote a whole, like, B story to Bart.
And they really missed it with the Bart thing, because they could have just gone more in depth with the, you know, the nerd sanctuary.
I think it would have been better if they sort of had Bart become, like, really close friends with the nerds, and then when he becomes better, or, you know, doesn't need his stuff anymore, going back to, like,
his normal
treating
life.
Them like crap.
Like, it seemed, you know? Like, it was a storyline that could have just been slotted into any episode. Like, it had no bearing on what was going on in the main plot.
The only time they sort of crossed over was when Homer came home and put his hand in Bart's hair. He's like, yeah, you know, that was the only sort of thing.
Let me ask you, who's your MVP?
Bit of a controversial one, this, because I think it was just because of the line readings.
Yeah.
Probably might be the only time that he ever gets it. But I'm going to give it to Carl Carlson.
Ooh, I tell you what, that has floored me, Terry.
I remember watching the episode, I was like, oh, I love that delivery. Like, every time he said something perfect. In the episode, I was like, yeah, exactly. It was so used perfectly well.
I
have to admit,
I did notice that myself as well. I normally don't notice Carl all that much, but yeah, that's a good spot.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah, you know what? Like, the stuff with Homer and Mindy was great and all. Colonel Klink was very good as well. Like, if I was going with just enunciation alone, I think.
Not actually Colonel Klink.
Can I ask
you what your rating is?
I will give it a solid round 8.
Ooh, an 8, you say? Why, Terry, that's your second lowest rating of the season.
What's my lowest? Well, I think
Tree House of Horror, I think it is.
Yeah, I would say so. Actually.
My lowest, we were saying, was 6.8, which was for Homer Goes to College, which I got no end of abuse from a certain sect of our listeners.
And rightly so, if I do say so myself.
Cause it's funny because you gave that an 8.4, but we both were fairly similar on the Treehouse of Horror. I gave that a 7, you gave it a 7.3.
Yeah, I think that might be my note. But it just didn't do anything for me, the Treehouse of Horror. Yeah,
same here. But
shall we get our plugs in?
Where can they find us, Terry?
Well, you can find us on Facebook, Andy.
What's the address?
Well, you can just search Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. We have clips and pics and all sorts of stuff going up there every now and again. And all the episodes are posted there weekly. Where else can they find us on the old social media side of things?
You can find us on Twitter at Put It in H Podcast. You can find us on Gmail.
You can email us at putitinhpod@gmail.com.
You can find us on iTunes podcast.
iTunes, SoundCloud,
basically
Stitcher.
Anywhere you get podcasts, you can find us. Search Put It in H. Although if you're listening to this, you probably already know that.
But for new listeners,
tell your friends and tell them to rate us 5 stars.
Now you can get into your five star.
I see. It's funny that we get to this because I see other episodes or other podcasts sitting pretty in the charts. Number 46, 47, around that sort of category. Talking Simpsons is always up there. And you know what? Credit to them. I'm sure it's a good show. I haven't listened to it. But one thing I will say.
Can't be given those ratings.
They've got a lot more than 9 ratings. Now, granted, they're 9 five-star ratings, and thank you to those of you who rated us. Why not set up a fake account and rate us again? Anything. Give me a hex sign. It would be nice. I'm not going to lie and say that it wouldn't be nice to be in the top 200. But seriously, if you enjoy the show, a rating would be great. If not, fair enough. I don't rate anything myself.
Well, maybe you should. Why don't you rate our podcast?
Oh, I have. I've given us a fake rating, and I've put in a great review as well. And if you want to see that written review that's by me, wink, wink, they'll never know, go onto our Twitter. We have a link in one of our latest posts to where you can rate us. We would greatly appreciate it. And, yeah. That's about it.
Well, what do we have for the good people next week?
For the little SOBs, we got an episode guest starring your boy, Robert Goulet.
My boy! My man!
It's episode 10, Springfield, in brackets, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love Legalized Gambling, which I don't need to tell you, is another doozy.
Yes. Well, I can't think of a quote from that episode to play us out on, so...
And on that note, we'll see you next time. Lovely. Lovely. My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe. Girl, I don't know why I can't get enough of your love, babe. Lord, some things I can't get used to, no matter how I try. It's like the more you give, the more I want. And baby, that's no lie. Oh no, babe. Tell me, what can I say? What am I gonna do? How should I feel when everything is you? What kind of love is this you're giving me? Is it in your kiss or just because you're sweet? Girl, all I know is every time you're here, I feel a change, something moving. I scream your name. Look what you got to do with, darling. I can't get enough of your love, baby. Girl, no, babe. Girl, if I could only make you see and make you understand. Girl, your love for me is all I need and more than I can stand. Oh, well, babe, how can I explain all the things I feel? You've given me so much. Girl, you're so unreal still. Keep loving you more and more each time. Girl, what am I gonna do? Cause you're blowing my mind. I get the same old feeling every time you're here. I feel a change, something moving. I scream your name. Look what you got to do with, darling. I can't get enough of your love, babe. Oh no, babe. Baby, it didn't take all of my life to find you. But you can believe it's gonna take the rest of my life to keep you.
get enough.